Ernest, what's up? Look, I want to put you onto something that's been making waves in the personal finance world. If you've been relying on Mint to manage your finances, I got some news that might startle you at first. Mint is no more. But hold on, because every cloud has its silver lining, and in this case, that lining is Monarch Money. For those of us searching for a robust, user-friendly alternative, Monarch Money is stepping up to the plate. And from personal experience, it's hitting a home run. Let's get personal for a moment. Managing finances can be a maze of confusion, stress, and time consumption. Believe me, I've been there, jumping from one finance app to another, hoping to find that one platform that simplifies everything. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design transformed my approach to managing finances. What truly sets Monarch apart for me, though, is its collaboration feature. With money being a top Discord trigger for many couples, the ability to seamlessly manage finances with my wife has been a game changer. No extra costs, just shared goals and clarity. But Monarch isn't just about managing your current finances, it's about building your future. Saving for that dream house, your wedding, or a once-in-a-lifetime vacation becomes not just a possibility, but a reality with Monarch's intuitive tools. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal held it as the best app for savings growth. Monarch Money represents the next evolution in personal finance apps. It's an ad-free haven where your experience is the priority, constantly refined based on real user feedback. It's everything we've been asking for: intuitive, powerful, and relentlessly focused on user satisfaction. Now, for a bit more practicality, Monarch makes transitioning from Mint a breeze, ensuring you can bring all your tags and categories with you. Its intuitive design, customization options, and commitment to privacy and an ad-free experience make it stand out in the sea of competitors. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/leisure. That's MONARCHMONEY.com/leisure for your extended 30-day free trial. Earners, what's up? Look, I want to give y'all a little peek behind the curtain of producing Earn Your Leisure. It's a lot more than just sitting down and chatting. It involves meticulous planning, recording, editing, and then promoting each episode to ensure it reaches all of you. And if you picked up any of our merch, then you know there's a whole extra layer of logistics, from inventory management to shipping. Running a podcast is like running a small business. And speaking of business, I know many of you entrepreneurs are involved in e-commerce. You understand how crucial it is to streamline operations and cut costs wherever possible. That's why I want to talk to you about ShipStation, the multi-carrier shipping solution that integrates seamlessly with all your online sales channels. It's all about optimizing your shipping, connecting with expert partners, and freeing up more of your time to focus on scaling your business. Now let's talk about our experience with ShipStation. This tool has been a game changer for us, especially with automating routine tasks. Being able to manage everything from one dashboard and print shipping labels with just a click, absolute lifesavers. Plus, the discounts we get on shipping costs are incredible. Honestly, it feels like we're saving thousands. And as our show and merch sales have grown, ShipStation's robust automation and reporting features have helped us keep up without missing a beat. For those of you who get overwhelmed by order volumes, ShipStation's easy-to-use dashboard is a dream come true. You can import orders from any sales channel, apply shipping preferences automatically, and handle customer service issues right there. Not to mention the savings with up to 89% off carrier rates like UPS, DHL Express, and USPS. It's no wonder over 130,000 companies stick with ShipStation long term. So, are you ready to turn your shipping challenges into growth opportunities? Head over to ShipStation.com and use promo code EARN for a free 60-day trial. Again, that's ShipStation.com, promo code EARN. Start streamlining your shipping and scaling your business today.
I'll give a little bit more background. I've been doing some research. So Jeremy is the head of Personal Finance Club, big index investor, and you retired at 36 years old?
That's true. I mean, the word retired is a little bit corny because it just sounds lazy or something, but I don't have a job anymore. I don't need a job. I direct my time as I see fit. And yeah, most of that wealth came from starting and growing a company, and I sold it when I was 34. And then I've been an index fund investor before and after. I just invest long term, buy and hold, keep it simple. And that's how I think I'm going to maximize my own wealth going forward.
All right. So, yeah, we got a couple of questions. First and foremost, thank you for joining us.
Welcome to Earn Your Leisure.
We appreciate it. Yeah. So index investing. We talked about index investing a little bit, but I know you're real big on it. So Ian thought that this would be a perfect opportunity to really go deep dive. Why do you prefer index investing over individual stocks?
So I've been listening to the show today, and like you guys are talking a lot about, you talked about Apple and you talked about, Gush and the oil. And here's the thing is like, it's very, very hard to beat the market. And so if you buy an individual stock and it goes up 8% this year, but the whole stock market went up 10%, that's not really a gain. It's really a 2% loss to the market. And the sum total of all the stocks in the market average out to the market. So, if one stock is up 12% and one's up 8%, that averages out to 10%. And so when you're trying to pick stocks, you're essentially saying, I'm trying to beat the market. Because if you're not trying to beat the market, then you shouldn't be picking individual stocks. You should just buy the index. And then if you're contending that you can beat the market, it's very, very challenging, because despite being, like, and I think you guys are extremely well-researched, you've done your homework, you're very well-read, but you're not competing against the next investor, you're competing against the sum total of human knowledge, because the sum total of human knowledge is constantly and instantly being baked into every single price of every single stock, because there's millions or billions of traders and only a few thousand stocks that can be traded on. So every single tiny little penny change is being priced, is being priced based on all the different traders, all the different algorithms trading, all the different mutual funds, all the different hedge funds. And so to beat that game is extremely difficult. Plus, when you trade, it includes, there's fees, or there's, buy sell gaps, there's tax implications if you're selling. An index fund basically says, okay, I'm going to just admit I am not smarter than the sum total of human knowledge. And instead of trying to pick and choose a few stocks, I'm going to buy every single stock all at once. And so in the US, there's about 4,000 publicly traded stocks. You can just buy all 4,000 all at once for virtually no cost. There's a tiny, tiny fee associated with these. When you do that, you guarantee yourself your fair share of all market growth. So you own Apple, you own Microsoft, you own Facebook, you own Netflix, you own ExxonMobil, you own General Electric, Tesla, down the list, you own everything. And when all those companies grow and innovate and hire and profit and create revenues, all that is pumped right back into your index fund, right back into your account without having to guess which is better. So that's why I love index funds, because I don't want to get taken advantage of by algorithmic traders or by mutual fund managers or by hedge fund managers. I want to guarantee myself my fair share of market growth. And over long periods of time, the market goes up about 10% per year. And if you're just putting away $500 a month at 10% per year over 40 years is about $3 million.
Easy.
So you can become fabulously wealthy with just slow and steady, tried and true investing in an index fund.
So when did you start investing? I know you said you stopped working at 36 for someone at 36. So
no, he sold his company. What company did you have that you sold?
The company was called RentLinks. We did online rental housing listings. So if you wanted to list an apartment for rent, you could post it to Zillow or apartments.com or rentals.com or Craigslist. I created a site where you can post it once and it automatically feeds to 50 different sites. And then you can track all your incoming leads from renters. So it's basically a tool for landlords.
Who'd you sell it to?
I sold it to a company called AppFolio, who is publicly traded. I bought a bunch of their stock at 12 and I sold most of it at 24. And now it's at 180. Oops. I still own some, and actually like the condo you see behind me was paid for with former AppFolio stock. So it did fine for me, but I sold AppFolio.
Yeah, my personal investment philosophy that I like is to have half indexes and then half tech stocks. But why do you think people hate indexing, even though it's the easiest thing to invest in long term?
I like that strategy, by the way. Like, I actually go for the 90-10 strategy, which is 90% index funds, 10% stocks. And I like your strategy too, because either way, it gives you a chance to see both sides. And yes, if you're as good at picking stocks as you hope you are, not you, I just mean any person, you should be able to look at your two portfolios and see that you, over long periods of time, I'm talking like 5+ years, if your stocks are really outperforming your indexes, then cool, then you can move more towards stocks. But if your stocks crash, you want to actually not ruin your retirement by, you know, not having like your fair share of market growth. So I think the reason people don't like index funds is because it sounds like it's average. They're like, I don't want average. I want fabulous growth. And it's not get rich quick. It's not exciting. Mm-hmm. It's not sexy. It's like very boring. Like you were saying earlier, like look at the market every day. I was like, I kind of do look at the market just because I'm interested in it. But I don't make trades. Like I might go years without making trades other than just constant reinvesting, because I know over time it's going to average out. And so I think it sounds like it's average. In my opinion, it's not average. There's a study that shows that over the last 100 years, the market goes up about 10% per year, but the average investor gets about 4% because of making all these mistakes, like timing the market. You know, I just talked to a friend yesterday who's a pretty wealthy guy, but he, in the middle of the coronavirus crash, he was sure that the market was going to get worse and worse. And so he bought an inverse ETF. So he bet against the market. He bet the market was going to go down more. And then of course, the last few weeks, the market has jumped up 30%. So he got super crushed.
Right? Yeah.
And so
first I wanted to say shout out to YouTube. We hit another record, 2,100.
Breaking news alert.
Yeah, breaking news. Shout out to YouTube. Nice. If you guys can like this video, take a millisecond. Everybody on YouTube, if you can just like it, we appreciate it.
And shout out to another breaking news alert. There's over 200 EYL earners in here right now.
Shout out to EYL University.
Over 200.
So, Jeremy, I wanted to ask you, and this is one of the reasons I want to highlight this, because we're not – a lot of platforms online are biased. Like they only steer you into one direction. You could really steer somebody into any direction that you want them to go. There's really no right or wrong with investing. So we talk about stocks a lot, but everybody – we realize that everybody's not going to be an individual stock participant.
Yeah.
So we want to talk about index funds, ETFs, mutual funds, all of those different things, and they all have advantages and disadvantages. So with the index – What are some top indexes that you personally are invested in, or you personally recommend? I mean, we know like the Dow Jones 500, the S&P. Mm-hmm. I mean, the S&P 500, the Dow Jones. But what?
I thought she was gonna say Vanguard. Yeah. I was like, every kid gonna say Vanguard.
So what are some top indexes that you recommend?
Well, first to your point about there's lots of different ways to do it. I always talk about my two rules. Rule number one is live below your means. Spend less than you make. And rule number two is invest early and often. And so if it's real estate, if it's individual stocks, you know, like you said, there's a lot of ways to do investing. But if you spend every dollar you make, no matter how clever of an investor you are, it doesn't matter, because you're going to be broke. And so, you know, I think investing can be confusing to a lot of people. But always remember, if you spend less than you make and you invest that difference, you know, you just want to increase that gap. It doesn't matter if you're perfect at investing. That's the important part, is actually doing it. And don't let the fear of the perfect stop you from even getting started, right? Because it's like, oh, it's so confusing. I'm just going to spend every dollar I make. You know, that's the wrong reaction. Just get started. And to answer your question about the best indexes, the thing about indexes is like, there's not really better or worse. I just did a little study on the top 12 US stock market indexes over the last decade. And they're all basically identical, because they all do the same thing. They all follow the market. Mm-hmm. And so there's a book that's on the three fund portfolio, which basically says there's only three things you need to buy: a US stock market index fund, which is to buy every single US stock; an international or non-US stock market index fund, which is to buy, you know, Europe, China, Korea, you know, all the emerging markets. And then the third would be a bond fund. And so those three kind of give you the ultimate diversity: every US stock, every non-US stock, and then the income producing bonds. And then you just have to choose your asset allocation, which is what percent each. And most people usually choose something like 55% US, 45% international, and 10% bonds. That would be an aggressive portfolio for like a young person in the wealth accumulation phase.
Yeah, that's a valuable lesson. That's a valuable lesson, because a lot of times we're looking at it like, listen, we're trying to get rich quick. Index funds ain't the popular way, right? Because it's slow and steady. But at the end of the day, the market's always going to grow. We know that.